You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So we have a nice little run. I didn't think I was going to go 20 minutes on sports tonight.
Yeah, I guess it's like a lot of pressure to like fill up the whole time.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot of pressure, but it's like when you start talking about something you're really passionate about. And it's much like when Scott started geeking out about Freaks and Geeks, we couldn't stop him. So it's probably how I am with sports nights. So
yeah, I'm getting pretty freaky about Freaks and Geeks too these days.
Yeah, I think we casually brought up that idea before, but I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of, you know, having a breakdown of each episode.
I'm good with it. And there aren't that many episodes, so, you know.
Right. It wouldn't take that long to get through.
Yeah.
But I don't have the, and you guys mentioned it was not available online anymore. So it's, you'd have to get the DVD, right? So
yeah, I bought the DVDs though. And there's a lot of, there's like audition tapes on there. There's a lot of commentary. It's fun. You know, they kind of bulked it up so that
I didn't know all that. Now I'm going to have to get it because I love watching the background stuff.
Yeah. It's neat. They have, you know, like kind of home movie type of things. Like the kids are running around with video cameras, like recording each other.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just silliness, you know, like because they're 13-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, that would be kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
And I like to see the same kind of thing. Like I've seen things like that with Stranger Things. You know, just seeing the cast kind of be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right.
Okay. All right, so now I'm doing the intro here.
Yeah, let me start timer, and whenever you're ready.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR, pop and step. Push your bend when things get rough. HR, pop and step. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Okay, this is Suzanne with Banzai Retro Club, and I have Dave with me.
Hello.
Okay, and what we're doing now, if you didn't listen to the previous ones here, we've got a series going where we're going to talk about a favorite TV show from one of the decades here that we focus on, and go with that for about 20 minutes, and you know, take turns kind of running through our favorite. So it's up to me, let's see, to go for a television show. And I don't know, Dave, you said you thought you knew what I was going to pick.
I did. I've got a TV show that's in the 70s that I know that we had talked about when we started somewhat talking about crushes. So that's where I think your mind's going.
All right. I don't know. Unless it's kind of, maybe it's kind of a girl crush. But what I want to go for is it is the 70s, and it is Charlie's Angels.
Oh, totally got that one wrong. Okay.
Well, see, we surprise each other, I guess.
Yeah. So wait. So do you have another 70s picks from the ones that you've in your backup?
No, I was going to – I have – my other pick is 90s.
Okay. I had you pegged for Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, you know, no, that was actually, I thought a lot about Welcome Back, Kotter, but we did talk about that on a couple of other occasions. So
right.
I thought maybe I'll hold off on that one. But yeah, that's true. Welcome Back, Kotter was a big deal for me.
I remembered, you're talking about John Travolta. I was talking about Olivia and John. Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's where she's at. She's with Welcome Back, Kotter. And yeah, never would have get with Charlie Angel. So thank you for surprising me. Mm. I love that.
Oh, sure. Good. Well, yeah, it's good to kind of shake it up a little bit. And I'll tell you, although I did love Welcome Back, Kotter, and I did have that huge crush on John Travolta.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
Angels was more like, okay, I was like 11 going on 12 years old watching this show. I was young enough that, like, and it was on late. It was like it came on at like 10 o'clock at night. And when it first came on, it came on late enough that my parents wouldn't even let me watch it. They were like, no, it's too late. Go to bed. So, you know, I like listened to the first season, you know, just like from my bedroom. But this is the thing. These girls were just gorgeous women. And, you know, I was like this little girl who, you know, like people were still mistaking for a boy half the time with the pixie hair, like Dorothy Hamill haircut, and was just looking at them like, okay, this is what I want to grow up and be. I want to be Kelly Garrett. I don't know. So maybe that was kind of like a girl crush type of thing where that's what I wanted to grow up and look like, you know, and it was a time period of wondering if that was ever going to happen or if I was just going to be this little, you know, mishmash of a of a kid who looked like two grades younger than she actually was and was, you know, never going to grow up to be girly. So
then you related a bit more to Jacqueline Smith then.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to be Kelly.
Was it the dark hair or were there things about her stood out?
Well, I mean, it was a cool show in that they all had their own personalities and, you know, their own, like, you know, Farrah was kind of a little more the jock and Kate Jackson was a little bit more, I don't know, sophisticated, laid back. But I don't know. I liked that Kelly Garrett was kind of a little in the. She was sophisticated, but yet she was in the mix, and she was just gorgeous, and kind of like brought brunettes back into style. You know, like everybody's in love with the blonde all the time.
Yeah.
So you know, that's easy. It's easy to get everybody's attention when you're the blonde chick. But I think that Jacqueline Smith held her own against Farrah Fawcett in a way that not a lot of girls could probably do then.
Well, all of them actually were all very somewhat authoritative, but I guess Jacqueline had a little bit more edge to that.
Yeah, maybe. And it was, I mean, if you think about it, it was a silly show. But once again, I mean, well, let's look at it this way. Welcome Back, Kotter was a silly show too. When you're 11 or 12 years old, like, silly, there's no silliness. Like, it's all new to you, you know? And it's all, oh, these are cool things that people in the grown-up world do or that teenagers do that that you're going to look at and say, all right, the world's going to start, you know, my life's going to start changing. Things are going to happen. So it's not as silly and kind of played out, you know?
Yeah.
And looking back, I have to wonder, not really being an adult or even a teenager, it couldn't have been that corny to everybody else because it was a big hit show.
Yeah, it definitely was.
You know, it had a decent lifespan. So now
the current iterations of it, the ones that they're doing with the movies, are those something that you enjoy?
You know, I didn't mind the one with the Drew Barrymore and
Cameron Diaz
and Lucy Liu.
Yeah,
right. That was a kind of fun reboot, I guess. I think those girls did a good job, and it was a cute plot. It was a whole different vibe, I think. You know, it wasn't quite, I don't know, this was, it was new at the time. I don't think there were a lot of female cop shows.
Right.
What did you have? Maybe you had Peggy Lipton on the Mod Squad, and
yeah.
Angie Dickinson did a show, which she was kind of older. She wasn't quite, you know, the demographic for a 12-year-old. But I remember the Mod Squad when I was really young. That was on.
Murder, She Wrote.
No, was that later? I think that was that.
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah. But was that an 80s show as opposed to like, this was like 1976 when this thing first came out.
Yeah, that was, I think, pretty sure it was 80s. I'm Googling right now. Yeah, 84 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about, you know, what you had for a equivalent in the 70s.
Strong for female.
They
were kind of kick-ass girls.
yeah, definitely. And by the way, I just wanted to say that I totally relate to what you mean by getting the attention of people with a blonde, because I had the Farrah Fawcett poster. I got no shame in saying that. I had the iconic one when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, millions of people did.
Oh yeah. Charlie's Angels, the original TV show, I really didn't watch much of. I know I've seen parts of them, and I don't know why it was something that just didn't interest me. I guess even now I'm still questioning that, because I had seen the follow-up movies or the current movies, Charlie's Angel 1 and 2, both with Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, and Drew Barrymore, and I thought those were really fun, and I love the concept of, you know, the mysterious person giving the orders through the little speaker box. Mm-hmm. And I know that's just a, you know, complete throwback to what was going on in the TV show, because we never saw Charlie in the original TV show, right?
Right. Well, you saw, like, sometimes you'd see him, but you never see his face. Like, he'd be on a yacht somewhere.
Right.
And they'd show him from the back or something.
At the end of the movie, that was the same throwout, you know, where you saw him on the phone walking on the beach, but you didn't see his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, see, I hardly remember how he was depicted in the films.
Right.
But in the newer films, yeah. Well, actually, they weren't original. The films were it. They didn't have films in the 70s.
Right.
Of this series, it was just the TV version.
I wonder how well that would have went, though.
If they did a movie in the 70s?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because the movies in the 70s, they were a lot more kind of gritty, raunchy, Clint Eastwood and such.
Right.
I think. And that might not have had the same kind of appeal. And they were, you know, they were doing so well on the small screen. I guess I didn't really need that. But I remember this just being a cultural phenomenon when it came on. Everybody wanted the posters. Everybody, at least in middle school, was just in love with them.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett became like practically like Marilyn Monroe for the couple of years that she was on the show. And people went crazy. People went crazy over these girls.
Yeah, she was, according to what I'm just looking at, I guess she was only on season one.
Was it only one season?
Yeah, 76 to 77.
Wow. See, then Cheryl Ladd took over, and she was pretty good.
Yeah.
She was pretty good. I think she was on for a while.
Yeah, she was on through season 2 to season 5. So she went from 77 to 81.
Yeah, and that, if I remember, was a nice transition because she was supposedly, she was Jill's little sister. See, well, you have to, you know, Farrah Fawcett was Jill Monroe.
Yeah.
She was, yeah, so she took over that position for her sister. It wasn't just like a stranger coming in.
Okay.
I think when the other girls came in later, you know, because they would rotate out the other two. The blonde always rotated out of this show. But I don't recall them bothering to have a plot line as to why this one, the next one left and somebody else came in. And yeah, in the end, actually, Tanya Roberts came in and she was a brunette too. So then there were no blondes.
Yeah. Looking at the timeline, it looks like Jacqueline Smith was the only one that was there season 1 through season 5. Farrah Fawcett, like I said, was season 1, but then replaced by Cheryl Ladd going season 2 through season 5. And then it looks like Kate Jackson went season 1 through season 3, then replaced by Shelley Hack in season 4, and then replaced by Tanya Roberts in season 5.
Oh, did Kate Jackson leave? I forgot. See, now I wasn't watching the show in the 80s when it went to like 1981 maybe.
Right.
Yep. I wasn't watching it then, you know, then it kind of lost its luster.
Okay.
So I'm not really remembering who switched out last. I know Tanya Roberts was in there somewhere at the end. Shelley Hack was like the second to last, but I'm not remembering who replaced who.
Yeah.
Because by then it didn't matter anymore. I was involved in after school activities and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, in middle school, like I said, when I was more impressionable and more needed, wanted like to look up to, you know, all right, this is what I want to, you know, grow up into. That I paid a lot more attention then. You know, it grabbed me a lot more then. But it is really, it's really nostalgic for me. They had, just like Welcome Back, Kotter, they had bubblegum cards with all the girls picked the scenes from the series on them.
Did you have those?
Yeah, I had a bunch of those.
What happened to that collection?
You know, I guess they were floating around in my dresser drawers for years, those cards. And maybe, you know, somewhere along the line in high school, I guess I threw them away.
Okay.
I don't have them anymore. I wish I'd saved that kind of stuff. Now and then I go to, you know, and I've looked online to see them. It's kind of like, I don't know that I would need to own them again, but it's kind of fun to go look for them and just see them online, you know?
Yeah. And this is something that I've recently kind of encountered because I know that I've got I got a lot of junk in the basement. I've got one closet full of my collection of comic books, and I've also got like non-sport collector cards. And like the Star Trek The Next Generation cards is the one that I spent probably way too much money trying to collect. And that I don't even have full setup, but I've got a whole bunch of duplicates. And as I now go to flea markets, or I go to it's mainly flea markets. There's always somebody there that is selling non-sport or selling sports cards, but they also have non-sports cards. And almost every time you can always see they either got unopened packs of the cards and they would have, you know, these Charlie Angels cards. They would have, you know, these the movies from way back when, you know, so they would have all the original cards still packaged up so you didn't know what you were getting. But then they'd also have like a case that had the whole collection. And to me, it almost seemed like it'd be like, you know, that's probably way too much work to sit there and open up each one because you not know what you're going to get. I just buy the collection already done. So if I were to run across a collection of cards of, let's say, Charlie's Angels, you know, the whole set, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have the one where you've got to open it up and try to figure out what it is, or just have the complete set?
Might depend on the price.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, they're never. I would think that they're not that expensive. You know, let's say if the whole set cost you $5-6, but then you could buy one of the packs for 50 cents.
I still might like the thrill of opening them up and seeing what I get, you know, just like when you were a kid. Like, we would get them from, like, the ice cream man. The Good Humor guy would come by and sell this stuff.
The Good Humor guy and, sold?
Yeah, the Good Humor guy sold Welcome Back Kotter cards and the Charlie's Angels cards.
Really?
There were probably, you know, a ton of baseball cards. I went through a period where I used to flip the baseball cards on the, you know, in fifth grade. But, yeah, the Good Humor guy used to sell, you know, all sorts of candy and all these cards. And we would buy them and we'd stand out in the street and we would all open them together, you know?
I never knew that there was a side hustle with the cards. That's nice.
Yeah.
I never knew. My junkie, or I mean, Good Humor Man, all I knew about was the ice cream, you know? So, you know, that was our drug of choice.
Came around and there was like a whole truck and there was like shelves in it and stuff. So,
all right.
They sold a lot of different stuff.
That's convenient.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. Because then you kind of like share the whole experience with your friends. You'd all get one, you know, a pack or two, and you'd all open them together.
Would that involve cards and ice cream or just one or the other?
Well, I guess it depends on how, you know, whether you got allowance that week or you've been saving up your money. But, yeah, we would, you know, I don't remember getting so much ice cream. I remember getting candy. I remember getting, like, Fun Dip, and you know they had like the candy cigarettes and stuff. We were politically incorrect as children.
yeah, definitely.
Or like ring pops and cool stuff. Like I think I was more interested in the candy. I had a sweet tooth for the candy, and the cards were fun because we were all into the shows.
Okay, I just assumed that it was like one of those things that was like the tough conversation, you know, for the parents. You know, it's like, you know, I've got enough money for, you know, some candy, but I also want to have some, you know, something extra for cards. Can you give me some?
Mm.
You know, I don't know if they'd play along.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember where I got the money from. I don't remember, like, you know, asking for money, but yet we didn't have a ton of money. It's not like I didn't really have an allowance. Might have been the kind of thing where, like, you know, you get $5 for your birthday. And then you like save it all year, so the ice cream.
You kind of drag that bad boy out.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little miser, so that could have been my strategy. It's true. I was.
My mom tells me that every time we went to the grocery store, I would always be like, "Okay, I want a quarter for the little gumball machine," but it wasn't like, you know, for the stupid crap that you would, you know, end up throwing away a week later because it was broken. And you know, or sticker or something like that. So I'd always hit her up for that, and she had she changed the rules on me, and she says, "Okay, well, you can only get that if it's your own money." And then I never bought that stuff again. So
see, like my mother would never give me. My mother would just she would laugh at me if I asked for stuff. But the thing is, then when I grew older, I was the only like kid, 20-year-old, who would like dive at the gumball machines because I was never allowed to do it when I was a kid. I wouldn't need to go for the, like the rings and stuff, but I would always get candy from the gumball machine everywhere I went, with the Skittles and the you know, the jawbreaker type things. I just was, you know, reliving my childhood.
Yeah, definitely.
Like ha ha ha.
All right, so it sounds like if you had the packs, if somehow they magically showed up somewhere, then you would prefer to have the mystery of opening them.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, me, I just want the, you know, I don't want to go through having a bunch of duplicates, so.
Ooh, is that my 20 minutes?
That's your 20 minutes.
Oh, well, okay. So we got a little nostalgic regarding the paraphernalia around the show.
I think that's allowed.
Yeah. It's fun. It was part of the experience.
Part of the
like
memory.
Like I said, when I really watched it, I was young. I was not watching it when I was 16 and 17.
Okay.
I watched it when I was 12. So, and it, you know, it was just, and if I could add one thing, I know I've heard people say that it's kind of very sexist to have a show where there's just a disembodied man who's telling the girls what to do. But I'm telling you, people, you have to go back to the era and the type of shows that were on and the type of thing, you know, and these girls, they're always, you know, dressing them in ridiculous, pretend that they were like, Playboy bunnies or whatever. You know, there were always something sexy. But I don't think that's any different from any other freaking movie that's out there. You know?
This is true.
So I don't look back on it as being a sexist thing that the girls were. You know, they were kind of hired guns, but they were, you know, shooting people and kicking people and running them down with cars, that kind of stuff. So what the hell?
They exuded power. You know, so I would never even think to call this like sexist. And I think the show would have worked even if it wasn't, you know, John Forsythe's voice, you know, if it would have been even a female voice that's kind of, you know, telling them what to do. I don't see how this would have played any differently. It still would have been a kick-ass show.
Yeah. Okay. So we can leave it at that.
Yeah. I agree with you, what you're saying.
Okay, cool. Okay, so in that case, maybe we can wrap things up by saying you can take a look at Bonza Retro Club online. You can listen to us on Spotify, on podcasts, on Podbean, on their podcasts, and let's see. You can find me at SuzanneMattaboni.com, SuzanneMattaboni. And everybody
makes fun of me. Yay! You spelled your name right.
Yeah.
or straight at Mattaboni.com.
Yeah, straight out of Mattaboni. The joke that will never die.
It will not. It will not.
Okay, the email for Bonsai Retro Club is McFly, right?
Yep, correct.
At Bonsai Retro Club. okay, so let's see. You know what, Dave? Did you want to give Scott some roses? Cause,
Scott is on Twitter at 80s Autoverse, and Rose is at 80s Music Girl.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, well, so we hope you continue to listen and give us reviews and all that good stuff. And I get to see you say the great tagline of be excellent to each other. Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 What kind of clown?
Next on Charlie's Angels.
Someone is trying to kidnap Sammy Davis.
Townsend Associates. I'm working for you.
Mr. Davis, I'm one of your bodyguards. Mr. Davis, I'm Kelly, your third angel.
Don't you make no kind of funny!
The angels keep Sammy Davis Jr. safe, but kidnappers take a lookalike, and the angels fly into action.
The kidnappers have him!
Returning Monday afternoon at 4, here on Channel 9.